All right, let's get this thing started. I am super excited because, number one, Dustin Chapman, you... Okay, so I'm not going to lie. You have got the best smile out of anybody I've ever podcasted, Zoom called with, anything. Like, your smile, like, literally just makes me go like, well, my day didn't end up that bad because Dustin's here smiling at me. So, so welcome.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Awesome. And Riley Madison over here. And I just kind of went through the whole, like, Riley Madison thing. And it's like a stage name, but it's really her name. It's first and middle name, which we'll just leave it at that. It's really cool. I love it. So you guys are kind of, you've known each other for a while.
Yeah, a little too long.
So let's go over a little bit briefly, because you get asked this question a million times. So tell me about the whole family, music. Are you in music, Riley, a little bit because of this guy, or are you in music because of somebody else and you just happen to have to deal with
Dustin? Think that we're in music because, you know, this guy. I grew up in church. We both grew up in church, but I started singing when I was in church when I was 3. And, you know, I found out he can sing too. So we just started singing together, and whenever he graduated college, he asked me to be a part of some of his shows, and I was like, okay, sure.
So wait, how old would you have been then when you started doing your first show in front of, like, a crowd?
13.
Are you kidding me? 13. First of all, when you say you started singing at 3, like, I always, you hear this stuff, oh, I've been singing in church since I was this age. 3 is the youngest I've ever heard, and, like, were you legit singing?
I was really singing in church, yeah. With microphone, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Well, I'm clearly. And so what's the first song you remember singing then?
Jesus Loves Me.
Oh my gosh, here I am. I'm like the guy that doesn't know the song was named Jesus Loves Me. All right, so you guys can judge me now. Which is totally fine.
No, yeah. I was really saying Jesus. That was the song.
That you were saying Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
So this is the whole thing. Like, I remember this is my little Jesus light. I'm going to let it shine. Yep, like, yep. I remember that. That's the first song I remember singing in church. But did you know at that moment that you loved it? Or was it just you were doing it because somebody gave you a microphone and said, sing this song?
I really loved it. Honestly, I remember it so vividly because... I mean, I've always been a pretty outgoing child, like attention now kind of child.
And I have no idea. I mean, that's not obvious at all.
I know. And so I remember I was on the way to church with my mom, and I was like, I really want to sing because it wasn't uncommon for people to get up there and do specials. That's what they call them in church. So I was like, I really want to sing. And she's like, okay. And so we got there early, and they were just like, we'll give you a microphone. And I really did. I just sung Jesus Loves Me. And that was it. And that was a common occurrence since I was 3 all the way growing up. I would do specials all the time. And yeah, that's how it started.
So, Dustin, here's a big question. I mean, to bring, you know, so your niece, you know,
Ross,
niece, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So your 13-year-old niece into shows with you, that's no offense, that's a little risky for your own music journey and career.
Absolutely.
Almost like, I'm going to be the great guy because she loves to sing and I want her to be a part of it and all that. That's a great gesture. But what did that mean for you personally on where you were trying to go as maybe a solo artist or whatever? Why did you do it?
I believed in her.
Love that.
Yep. And I knew growing up, I loved music, right? And school was my outlet for music. That was the only way that I got to partake in music.
Sure.
Was school.
Yep.
And I knew that I wanted her to have the opportunities that I didn't growing up. And so I extended that invitation, and we've been doing it ever since. So 4 years now. Yep.
So have you done much solo work? And Riley, have you done any solo work yet?
I have not. Well, the only thing that I did do was American Idol, but ever since I was 13, we've been together. So I've never done anything on my own.
I've done a lot of solo work. Yeah.
You have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prior like to when we started doing the duo stuff, I was releasing my own music, and still to this day, we still release individual songs, you know, that we write and things of that nature, but we always do background vocals on each other's stuff, you know, that kind of thing. I haven't found anyone that harmonizes quite like the
you guys are, I'll be honest with you guys, and just in sound check and hearing you, you know, I can hear it in your music, but it's different when you hear it in a sound check. It really is, because you can see the way that you work together and that you just are in perfect sync. with your timing, and it's amazing. It's like goosebump kind of stuff. And you guys have just found a way to do it. Now, Riley, do you have any intention of doing something in a solo fashion?
Honestly, I would love to. I think, you know, I love working with my uncle.
Yeah, that has
like, and I no think, question. You know, as I'm growing up and getting older, I'm going to graduate high school in about 2 years. So I'm going to be going to college. So that's kind of going to make me kind of separate ourselves a little bit. And I'm going to be going for music. So
that's awesome.
There's no telling what will, you know, those opportunities will open
up. Well, I think with the way that you guys have kind of built it, that connection with family and the faith behind your music, you're always going to be
right.
a duo.
Right. Yeah, we'll always
and,
be.
And it's, but that doesn't, like, if you're at school, you know, why shouldn't you go, you know, try to come up with, you know, some solo gigs and do some acoustic. Now, do you play any instruments?
I play guitar. I'm really trying to learn myself. So that's what I play.
So, I mean, are you doing anything? Are you writing with the guitar yet? Or?
Yeah, I love writing songs. I really keep them close to me. I'm not as confident in, you know, trying to push it out there because they're super personal, and I'm trying to get over that hurdle of putting my own music out to people and stuff like that. So I'm always asking Dustin, I'm like, how do you do it? Like, I'm so...
Well, Taylor Swift didn't seem to care.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, just, I wish I had the confidence like that, but yeah, I'm really trying to kind of...
A couple solid breakups should do it.
Right. Oh, she just had her one.
Stop. Yeah.
But I do tell people all the time, I'm like, because people, they'll ask us, you know, and they'll say, or I'll tell them, you know, no matter what we do, no matter what opportunities present themselves to us as individuals, we're always going to be linked together.
Yeah, kindred's forever. Always. Right. 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 And that's and that's what I see in who you are. And I think that's what, I think that's what's going to make you be able to be solo artists at different moments in time and still be able to come back and be kindred whenever you want to, whenever it works with schedules and school and all the rest of it. And I think that that's what a lot of musicians, artists, and touring bands and everything, this is what they have to be. Mm-hmm. And I think because of your family connection, well, how about that time? I think that's important to kind of understand, and it gives you a little bit of a baseline of security.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and it gives you a chance for maybe you to go out there, put yourself out there and have a success, but maybe a couple failures, you know, because in the music business, you're going to go and do a show to seven people that aren't paying attention to you.
Yes.
And it's not going to be anything, but you're going to walk out feeling like that was the worst experience of your life. Why am I doing this? But that's the music business, right?
Exactly.
So what's most important to you in the way that you're presenting yourself as an artist?
Authenticity, just really portraying who I am in my music, but also doing it in a way that others can relate to it and create their own experience with it. I always say, like, a lot of my songs are very personal. Like Riley was just talking about, like, that's a hurdle she's trying to get over. But for me, like, I always try to make my words in a way where, of course, it relates to something I'm going through, like a scenario that is personal to me, but it's phrased in a way that they can make their own correlation with it. And that's something that very much I always want to be adamant about and include in our music.
So. Why is it that as a human race, we feel like we're on so many islands in different times of our life that we're the only ones that have gone through something?
Yes.
And to realize that in a room full of 100 people, 72 of them probably can connect to that exact song for this exact reason. And I think that's an important thing for Riley. I mean, come on, put it out there.
I know. I'm really trying. I'm really, this new year, like 2023, I'm really, really trying to just put myself out there as much as I can. Because, you know, being in a duo, I have strengths and he has strengths. I have weaknesses and he has weaknesses. And sometimes, you know, they overlap each other. Sure. Where I'm weak, he's strong. Where I'm strong, he may be weak. So it really covers. So trying to put yourself out there, you're just completely, like, stripped of everything.
Yep.
You know, there's no, you know, backbone, there's nothing, you just gotta do it. So, and being in a duo like that, like having Dustin there, he's been doing this, you know, in college, he had a lot of buddies and stuff and did a lot of gigs by himself. So I go to him and I'm like, what, how do you do this?
Dude's been crushing
I'm
it.
Like, I mean, he's
such a, you're just such a seasoned artist where it's, when you go up there and when I see you singing in your music, there's such a strength to what you're doing. It just feels as though you have complete control of your vocals, of what you're trying to put out there, and the emotion behind what you're doing. It seems so, you talk about authenticity. It seems so you. Is that coming because of the lyrics or because of your confidence as an artist?
I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not.
No, lie to me.
Well, I'm not a confident person at all.
What?
That's true. Like, that's true.
Riley will attest to that.
Yeah, that is true. I think, you know, especially, I think it works.
Like, no, just attest to it. Don't explain it.
No, I'll explain because I think it's really important because a lot of artists, if we're being honest, all artists, like, are, I feel like, in a way, insecure. You know, they want that clap. They want the cheers. They want this and that. And, you know, we don't always feel confident because we're constantly comparing ourselves to other artists, what they're doing, where are they at with their music. And that's something I'm a victim to as well. I compare myself constantly. And so Dustin, he will say something. I'm like, huh?
Right.
You are. I'm like, because it's good to have that foundation for somebody. For me, for him, it's me. For me, it's him. Say, you are good enough. What you're doing is good, and you deserve to be where you are. And so,
you're like
yeah.
the perfect type person. like he's like, how about you don't go away to college? Because I know. I need
That's
this
scary,
hype person.
Yeah.
Here.
And for me and Dustin, like, we're really our best friends. He's like my brother. He's not like really like my uncle.
No, I get
so,
that, too.
It's so important. It's so great to have him there because I struggle with a lot of stuff that he can tell me who I am, and he struggles, and I can tell him who he is.
Right.
So it's,
well, there's an 8-year age difference, so
yeah.
I've lived things that she's currently going through
right.
or like
right.
issues that she's now facing that mm-hmm. she's never faced before that
yeah.
I'm able to be there
yeah.
and really, you know, try to mm-hmm. help her out. But going back to the whole confidence thing,
yeah.
you know, and I do think the fact that I write all of my music, everything that I've ever released mm-hmm. has been mine. And I think
100%.
100%. Yes. And so I think that plays a part in me being.
That's amazing.
Well, I appreciate it.
Let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Is that because you want to write your own music right now at this stage of your career? Or is it a little bit because of where you live and the convenience of collaboration in writing?
Both. Okay. Both. Yeah. We live in a very, very small area.
I know.
Very.
I know.
We're the only two individuals that are really pursuing music at all in our area.
How many people are in your hometown?
Mm. 1,000?
I feel like in your head you're going, well, there's Jimmy.
Right.
There's Mary.
Yeah, that's about like, 1,000.
We're about to get our first Starbucks, though, so that's...
That's a big deal.
Right.
Must be on the border of a big town.
Growing.
Or
something.
Yeah. But we... So there isn't many opportunities mm-hmm. for
sure.
collaboration.
Yeah.
In college, you know, that was different. I had that opportunity.
Yep.
But also, I'm the type of person I like to push myself and like to push my horizons and not stay stagnant in what I'm writing and producing myself. And so diving into different ideas that I've come up with myself, you know, makes me more receptive to venturing out in different lanes that, you know, most people, if you're, sometimes when you're writing with someone, you know, they bring in different ideas and you like work together and you create something that's fantastic, you know,
yeah.
awesome. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And
right.
so,
yep.
I just try really everything that I've released. I've either, like I said, written or co-written.
Yep.
And, I really just try to, you know, push myself into not really just being me, but into something that might be a little different than what I would usually do, you know?
Right.
And so a lot of times if you're co-writing with people, you know, they listen to what you've done in the past and they're like, okay, let's write something that, you know, fits.
They think it's you.
Right, right. But I don't want to just release the same type of material
right.
over and over, you know? So
absolutely.
Yep.
So as an original artist, mm-hmm. how much music do you kind of have just sitting there waiting to do something with, or is that the constant struggle as recording artists, touring artists, to find the time to actually get in the mindset to write? Is that a challenge? Do you have 100 songs that are sitting there for you to finalize and work on, or do you say, oh my gosh, I'm down to 4 mm-hmm. and you feel this pressure? Where are you at right now with your originals?
I have so many that are done that we haven't done anything with, you know, but also there is a constant struggle of being like, okay, we just had 5 shows this week and, you know, we're so exhausted, but we also, we need to write and get new stuff ready for the next quarter or whatever, you know?
Right.
And so, it is very much a struggle, trying to find that balance.
Because when you do kind of play in your own area and you've got a fan base, your fan base is unbelievably loyal.
Yes.
On social media. I don't know how that's translating into following you to shows and stuff, but there's a pressure of artists that go out. And if you're not releasing an album that you're focused on that album, you want to give a little something different every time somebody keeps coming to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that pressure of
what
can I bring into the show? What's the next?
Absolutely.
Have we worked it out with the band? Is it just the two of you? Have you worked out the kinks and the harmonies and all that kind of stuff? It, like, how tough is that to keep on kind of mixing it up a little bit and to keep your own energy alive?
It's pretty tough, I'm not going to lie. Especially, I mean, I'm still in school, so it's really hard to kind of like not get burnt out so much, you know, playing so many shows on top of school. And I complain to Dustin all the time. I'm like, I'm not doing enough, but I don't know if I can do any more, you know? So that's a struggle for me, just trying to keep the zeal for it all.
But I'll be honest with you. The fact that you are being honest with yourself about, I don't know if I can give anymore.
Right.
So many people don't find the balance in that.
It's difficult.
It absolutely is. If you couldn't do music, if you woke up tomorrow and you're like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm tone deaf, I can't sing anymore. What would you do? What would you want to do? You're going to school now.
I'd be a writer. Probably write books and stuff like that.
When you say you want to be a writer, are you a big reader?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And what kind of books do you read?
I like this. I read a lot of Christian books.
Can you define what a Christian book means, though?
Can I say some authors and stuff?
Yeah. Sure.
I won't
know who they are for sure.
I really love Bob Goff. I really love Mitch Albom. He's a story writer book.
So what kind of, give me an idea of like one of the stories that like you've read a book.
One of my favorite books I read recently, and if Gene, if you're watching this, this is your book. It's called Strangers in the Lifeboat by Mitch Albom. And it is an incredible story. It is about these people that get abandoned like in a shipwreck, and there's like 6 people.
Okay.
And they find some man, and he says he's Jesus. So they're like, what the heck? You're Jesus? No, you're not. And so there's terrible conditions. They're stranded, no food, no water. So they die eventually, one by one they die. And it's about this man is writing a letter to his wife I don't want to spoil it, but you find out she's passed away from cancer. And he's writing to her, but the ship exploded. So he's like, oh my gosh, he's telling everything that happened. I'm not a good storyteller. But
you're great.
But yeah, and so he later finds out that the man, he says he's Jesus, but he's not Jesus. The person that was Jesus was this little girl in the boat with him, and I'm getting chills talking about it.
So what you're reading is you like to read faith-based journeys, and do you find that is going to be what type of music you write?
I think so. I'm really getting in. Well, maybe I write Christian music myself, and I write stories, you know, like story songs and things like that. Like, I love bluegrass music, and it's a lot of like stories and stuff like that. And I'm trying to dabble into everything, but I love self-help books. I try to get better at everything as much as possible.
Yep.
I never want to stay where I am. I want to get better and better. And I read a lot of books like that. And I really think I could write a book. Like, when my life is, you know, a little, I'm more older and seasoned in life, I can maybe write a book.
You certainly have had a journey already just in kind of finding a career, you know, family, the importance of it, the passion of music and balancing things. I feel like you're already writing your own story as it sits right now.
I journal a lot.
It's a pretty good book.
Yeah, I journal a lot. And that's one thing, like, I would love to publish my journals. I know that sounds super, like, whoa, I don't want to release a song.
Yeah, because
but
you won't sing a personal song.
But right,
you
wanna, I know. It's
but here's
weird.
The journal of my
it's really
day.
Weird.
Here of the year, everybody
it's
have
really
it.
Weird. I go to journaling when I'm really struggling with a problem. I don't really journal every single day, but when I'm struggling with something, I'll write letters, you know, like either to God or just to think things through myself. And I always like come to kind of a like an epiphany in the middle of my journal. That's how I get my stuff out of my head because I'm really an overthinker and I really obsess over stuff. So, and I think it might help people because it helps me.
That's awesome.
And I always go to Dust and I'm like, so I just had this thing and I know I had this problem, but now it's over. And I don't know. I love talking about it.
So I think that's what's cool about your relationship is there's this balance, but there's the friendship, there's the family, there's a trust in it. Dustin, what is next in the sense of in the music industry?
Right.
There is this, if I don't get this award, if I don't get this many followers, if I don't get this many downloads on my music, if I don't have this many people at a show, what is it inside of you that is making you feel whole about what you're doing, but also where you're trying to get next and feel like you're accomplishing the journey, right, even though it's not like signed to a big label playing arenas tomorrow.
Right.
Like what is keeping you there and what's kind of those obtainable things that are going to make you feel like, yeah, I'm doing this and it makes sense to be doing it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I tell people all the time, like I have no doubt in my mind that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Like no doubt.
There's no way. With your skills and your talent, there's no way that this is supposed to not be happening.
And so there's just, you do get in these places where you're like, man, like, is this progressing as fast as it needs to be? Is like, is my time running out? You know, like you get in those places. But then you just get little reminders occasionally, you know, it's just like little things. Like, I can't talk about it yet, but there's like this huge opportunity for next year that is, I'm like, very, very close to obtaining. And then I'm just like, man, like this doesn't happen often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't happen for anybody. And there's these individuals that we know, they're so wise, so, so wise. And they have become like an adopted set of grandparents to
their
us.
Family now.
That's awesome.
And he's like our go-to person. Him and I just talk often and he's just like, there are so many people that would kill to be where you are right now. Like that, like just to be able to like say, you know, music is my full-time job. Like I'm able to provide for myself, doing what I love, writing my songs. People are listening.
Yeah.
I might not, like, we were blessed this year to have a song that did very well, but I might never have another song to hit the top of a chart again. But you know what? I'm able to travel the world and do what I love, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just think.
So you feel, it seems to me, that you feel like you've accomplished what you set out to accomplish as an artist, but you're not going to think that the road is at a dead end and that there's not more to accomplish. But you wake up feeling as though...
Just blessed, grateful.
Yeah, you're whole with the journey and you're going to stick to it, which so many people keep on waking up every day thinking there's just something more because I don't have what I want and... You know, I want this car, I want this house, I want these, you know, material objects type of things. And it seems like so much of it is coming to you in different ways that are keeping you motivated to know that this is the right path.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So out of the songs that you've recently released, which one every time you sing it makes you feel like almost like, let's call it like an outer body experience where you like listening to it as much as you like singing it. It's the one that gives you goosebumps more often than the next one because of whatever reason or being able to see it in the eyes of the people that are at the show.
Right.
Is there a song that just hits you every time you perform it?
So, I mean, Slow Dance has a special place in my heart, obviously.
Yep.
But there's a song that we're going to be doing tonight. It's the first time we've ever done it with the full band, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, boy.
And it's called What an Old Song Can Do. And there's a story behind that song. And Riley's probably going to get mad at me by saying it. But we've been blessed to play so many shows together.
Yeah.
We've never met a mean person except one time.
That's true.
It's
crazy.
We were in Myrtle Beach, and this guy came up, and
I wasn't having a good day.
Yeah, it was just already not a good day, and he was like, he started cussing at Riley, and she just like broke down and started crying, it was just bad. Like not good.
Yep. Ugh, terrible.
And then Uncle Mode kicked in, and I was like, you know, who the heck do you think you are? Like, you know.
Yeah.
And so. He wound up getting kicked out of the place. He was extremely intoxicated. Yeah, so you know that
obviously. Or just,
So many, many, many months later, I was sent back because that situation just infuriated me. But I was sent back and I was like, you know, what if what we were singing, he just had an emotional attachment to it. It triggered some kind of reaction in him.
Yeah, sure. And music does that.
Right.
Yeah,
in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a song like from what I perceived his perception to be that night. And so... That song, I love telling the story about it because I love seeing the people's faces when they realize, like, wait, he really did that, you know, like,
right.
And I think lyrically it hits a spot with a lot of people. And so I'm excited for y'all to hear that one tonight.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Now that's right. The only, I'm going to be just like sitting there waiting for that song. So what's next? What's 2023? What are some things that you're really looking forward to? And how much time off are you going to get to just kind of catch your breath?
I hope not much.
Right. We enjoy being busy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the winter time, that's really our time, like time to really pour into our creativity and like, you know, just really try to get as much as the songwriting business side of things put together so we can focus on our performing and touring like throughout the rest of the year, you know. But we do have some pretty exciting things lined up show wise, and we are very excited to release our first like official Kindred EP.
That's true. Because your last one was
right.
Mm-hmm.
It was just under our name.
That guy. It's like, hey, I sung some harmonies, so I'm still in there.
You're still in there. You know, you get your cut.
I haven't seen that yet. But
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So I can't thank you guys enough for making the trip out here. And it's going to be a special show.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are special people. And I'm excited to see where our future friendships and where you're going with your careers. And it's good to have good people, you know, doing good things and doing what you love to do. And you guys make it so obvious that anybody that comes to see your show or listens to your music is, they're not going to have a bad day once they hit play. That's for sure. So thanks for being part of it. Thanks for being part of the Interstate Music family now. And that's forever. So, Kindred's got, you know, Kindred plus one. How's that?
Hey, sounds good. Sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.